Good morning and good afternoon, everybody who is on this conference line. I'd like to welcome you to the PhoneBridge workshop called CEA, How, a Program for Living. And we can all say the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity,
serenity.
To accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to
know the difference.
Thy will be mine and be done. So my name is Gabby, and I am a compulsive eater, and I have been in HOW for quite a lot of years, and I'm very grateful these days to be able to do service in the form of arranging a workshop like this. So I want to give you a little bit of background about how this particular workshop came to be, and I'm going to give you an overview of what this workshop is about, and then I'm going to turn it over to our first speaker. So the idea for this workshop, I was asked to do a workshop in January to welcome back all the people who returned to the rooms and to re-motivate everybody who was going to do that. Hang on one second. Let me see if I press this other button, if that works. Okay, I think that worked now, and I will make sure that it gets turned off later. That's a mass mute for everybody. So anyway, I was asked to do this workshop in January, which I was, like I said, incredibly grateful to be asked. And I started thinking about the kinds of things that were important messages for me to hear, because, of course, anything that happens in program, I really need to hear as much as everybody else. And one of the things that happened earlier in this year, this fall, was that my sponsor for the last 11 years passed away. She had been sick, and we are very grateful that she's no longer in pain, no longer hurting. But she was really an inspiration, and she had 23, 24 years of abstinence, and her motto was always that HOW was a program for living. It wasn't a program that limited you as much as a program that really brought you to a whole new level of life and the ability to cope with almost anything that came her way. And she was abstinent through just about every different kind of challenge, illness, pain, you know, positive thing as well, moving across country, almost everything that you could imagine, she stayed abstinent. So as I sort of thought of what kinds of things I wanted to hear, I wanted to gather together a number of people who were going to be able to speak on staying abstinent through some really challenging ideas, and to wrap it up with an idea that being abstinent is not just about the food, although, of course, it's also about the food. It's about managing to deal with the gray areas of life while keeping your food pretty black and white. So today we have four wonderful speakers, people that I've been blessed to know for many, many years, and who have all been through some challenges. And it's funny because I thought of them and I thought of what I associate with them in terms of challenges they face, whether it's switching jobs as an adult or dealing with the death of loved ones or anything like that. And they all ended up saying, you know, I'd really like to talk about how I also face challenges while dealing with health issues. And I know that that may not sound like it relates to everybody at this stage of the game, but I think that it does and it will. And even if it's not that you personally faced, let's say, some of these challenges that these people faced, I think that you will, and I also, will get a tremendous amount out of knowing that being abstinent can take you through any of the challenges. So today we're going to hear from four people. We're going to hear from Michelle, who is going through a very challenging part of her recovery right now, of her life, health-wise, and I know she'll share that with you. We're going to move on then to Rivka, who's going to talk about also some of her health challenges that she's faced. And then Chris, a third person who's going to talk about her health challenges and also being abstinent through death. And finally, we're going to end today with Sue, who's going to remind us a little bit about how this is not just a program that is a food program. It's not just a diet. It's everything else. So it is my pleasure to turn it over to Michelle. Every speaker is going to speak from the 10 to 15 minutes. I'm going to let Michelle unmute herself. Hang on 1 second. So, Michelle, I will be acting as timer as well as moderator today. How would you like me to give you your time signals?
I don't know. 5, 7, and 3, that's 15, right?
5, 7, and 3 is 15, absolutely.
Okay, now I need to ask you before I start, I have you on speaker. Can everyone hear me clear, or do I need to hold the phone?
No. Absolutely, we can hear you on speaker, and I think that is a wonderful place to start your share. So, Michelle, please share with us for your 15 minutes. I'll give you a 5, a 7, and a 3 minute warning of what you have gone through to make this a program for living.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Michelle, and I'm a compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be here, bulimic as well. I have to say, my kitten needed me to pull a chair up next to me so she could be here for the meeting, because she just wouldn't stop until I pulled up a chair so she could sit with me. So I'm grateful for her support. I'm so grateful that I got asked to lead this meeting. Never mind, I'm grateful that I get asked to speak. It started a couple of years ago when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. And, you know, I had to have a bilateral mastectomy. And I remember, you know, saying to my sponsor, how am I supposed to stay abstinent? I'm not going to be able to lift things. So I learned, you know, I said to this friend of mine, I said, she lived in Oregon, I said, I don't know, you know, I'm going through this, and she goes, I'm going to come for 3 weeks, and she's in Howe, and I was like, oh my God. So, you know, I put it out there, and I asked for help, because I was telling my sponsor, I don't want to eat, but I don't know how I'm going to, you know, do this. And, you know, I just remember the preparation, you know, buying plastic dishes and lining everything up, you know, at arm level, and, you know, and doing that, you know, and, you know, I just learned, you know, I stay abstinent, you know, no matter what. So went through that challenge, and a little while ago, I had to have another surgery November 15th, and I was like, you know, acceptance, and I lined everything up, knew what to do, did a lot of shopping in advance, and, you know, did a lot of preparation, you know, because I couldn't carry and lift, and, you know, a friend that's on this line, she, you know, would take me to the market and carry things, and it just taught me in my program that I had to ask for help, which was something really, really hard for me. My latest one is that my dominant hand is in a cast. So this was a real doozy, because I learned that I could stay abstinent no matter what, you know. And, you know, it's quite comical when I think about, you know, taking the trash out one day and using my left hand to open the huge big green trash bin and taking my teeth and putting the garbage strap in my teeth, you know, from the bag and flinging it in. And I just thought, you know, you could get really creative. There is no excuse, you know. You know, I mean, yeah, I've had trouble cutting up things, And it's hysterical how you can use your teeth as a knife. But, you know, this is, I don't mean to get sort of graphic and gross, but, you know, it's like I just learned to make light of the situation. And that's the one thing I learned is, you know, not to feel sorry for myself, you know, that I've done gratitudes and did wells. And, you know, I've been doing writing in 10 steps via recording in my cell phone. And it's, you know, really taught me to be humble, to have humility, to ask for help, you know, and it's hard asking for help. I mean, yesterday I was carrying the cat litter and, you know, my hands hurt, and I shouldn't have been doing it, you know, and sometimes it is hard to ask for help, but no matter what, I stay abstinent, and, you know, my abstinence is the most important thing. You know, maybe I can have things cut up the way I want them to be cut up, but, you know, I've been eating with my hand a lot, and it also has taught me, you know, that to eat slow, because, you know, it just taught me a lot of gratitude that, you know, I remember seeing this guy in a public restaurant. He didn't have hands, and he was eating with his feet, you know, and every time I was starting to feel sorry for myself, like, how am I going to do this? I thought of that guy, and I knew, you know, I could open things with knees and do all types of stuff, and, you know, so I'm, you know, this is, like, really weird conversation, but, you know, it's just taught me that there's no reason, there's no excuse, that my abstinence is the most important thing in my life without exception, that nothing is an excuse to eat. You know, I'm not going to say that there weren't times when I was like, I felt like the only thing I had to look forward to was my meals and taking a nap and going to sleep at 7:30, you know, being in pain. And, you know, it went into depression is where it went. You know, I have commitments. I have a sponsor. I have phone bridge commitment. Thank you. Oh, that means 5 minutes. Is that what that means?
Right. 5 minutes has passed.
Okay, thank you. So I also want to touch on something else. You know, I went to Ireland a couple of times, and, you know, I remember calling people that had been to Ireland and hearing they don't have fresh vegetables, they don't have this, they don't have that. And, you know, like this HAL member, when were you there last, 15 years ago? And I'm thinking, you know what, it's going to be fine. You know, it was fine. I took things that I was able to take. You know, I had my meals for the plane, and the guy next to me who was the tour guide said, what in the world are you doing? And I said, well, I'm in HAL. And he goes, so am I. He said, but I just want to, the tour guide, right? You know, and I'm flying from L.A., and I didn't know him. And he says, but I just want to let you know, I'm just going to be doing what I want to do. And I was like, okay, you know, and the whole trip, I just was an example for myself and for him. And he always made sure to speak up for me when they didn't understand what I was asking, because he was Irish, that I would always get what I wanted. And, you know, so I stayed abstinent in Ireland, and, you know, whenever the tour bus would stop, and they'd all, like, you know, be going wherever they're going to, restaurants or whatever, I would, like, eyeball a market, because maybe he'd say, you have 10, 15 minutes, and I'd run in and I'd get vegetables that didn't need to be refrigerated and fruit that didn't need to be refrigerated. You know, I left proteins in my room. It was cold enough that they didn't go bad, and when they went bad, I threw them away because I didn't have a refrigerator. But, you know, I was just, you know, so grateful that I was able to travel with it. And, you know, I remember coming back, going through customs in Ireland, and, you know, I'm also hypoglycemic, and, you know, he said, you can't bring food on the plane, or you can't bring those things on the plane. So I remember giving the girl at customs, you know, a bunch of fruit, and I remember she said to me, thank you so much, and she goes, I'm so grateful for that, I don't get to leave. So I was able to help someone, and, you know, and then, of course, they said, you know, you can't bring that, and I said, but you don't understand, I have to, and, you know, it's like, I'm in a 12-step program, you know, I'm hypoglycemic, I need to take this on the plane, you know, and he goes, the customs said, you know, well, read the packaging. Where is it from? And I said, Trader Joe's, USA. And he goes, okay, you can take it. And I was like, you know, I just learned to fight for myself that, you know, I don't take, you know, if I'm not, of course, not going to get escorted out and being asked to be thrown off the plane. Obviously, there's, a time and a place where I know you can't take certain things. It's obvious, you know, but I just, you know, I'm just so grateful for this program. I came in 1979 through OA. I've been here my whole life. I was in my early 20s. I was a baby. I never left. You know, and I'm so grateful, you know, I heard someone say, I mean, for me, you know, my food is straight and narrow, but I have to learn how to have my life in the gray area because, you know, I was told that, you know, I'm too rigid and, you know, secretary of a meeting yesterday that people's eyeballs were rolling, my sponsor said, because I'm like reading and, you know, no one goes over and stay within your time. And she goes, no one's going to die if someone goes over, you know, or any of these things. And I was like, yeah, you know, I think extra caffeine's causing this anxiety. So today I went on decaf. And, you know, there's that choices, you know, and if it wasn't for this program, you know, I don't, you know, I mean, my food plan is a little more narrow, because of, you know, allergies and food intolerance, you know, those 3 tablespoons that one would get in the morning. I don't have that because I'm allergic to it. And, you know, the more I've been around, the more surrender in different areas to just know, you know, I want the promises. The promises have come true. I, you know, want a life full of meaning. And I just don't want to get by. I want to be happy. And, you know, a lot of, you know, I would say all the promises have come true for me, you know, but it's not to say that I don't have fears on a daily basis. And you know, so, you know, back to food choices, right? Not being able to cut big proteins and cook that whole bird because it's A, too heavy, and B, then I can't separate it. I learn which proteins I can have and, you know, to buy them when they're already separated and to cook them or, you know, things that, you know, the vegetables I can open, you know, open things with knives and forks and teeth and whatever, you know, it's just like I learn how to do it, you know, and she said I'll get out of this cast in another 3 months, but, you know, then there's the recovery period, but if I could just keep myself from doing things, lifting things that I'm not supposed to be doing, you know, I was in such pain before the meeting, you know, I'm on a lot of ibuprofen, but just, you know, I mean, I'm not going to be saying my phone number for those members that are in HAL. It's Michelle from Los Angeles, and you know, I'm sure you'll recognize my voice in meetings. And for those that are listening to this on YouTube who are not in the program, I just want to tell you this program has saved my life. I couldn't stop eating. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic. You know, I didn't want to hold the food in because I didn't want to take the responsibility. I couldn't stop eating sugar. I've been Thank you. I binged my brains out and, you know, got chased by security in the market thinking I was going to steal, which I was looking around to make sure someone from the program couldn't see me buying loads of sugar. And, you know, I'd have to eat it in the car. I could not wait till I got home. You know, I'm a sneak eater, and, you know, I have to say the sneakiness, you know, came into abstinence, being afraid to have people see me eat because of the guilt that I always had, you know. And again, for those that aren't in the rooms, you know, we're Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, how, and, you know, I'm in Los Angeles. We have meetings all over the place. And if you live in a place where there are no meetings, there's PhoneBridge. You can get on the website at ceahow.org and look up PhoneBridge meetings. There's people from Europe and all over the world, you know, and this, it's a 12-step program for living, you know, where I don't have to, before, you know, I ate, I lived to eat. The only thing that got me out of bed was running into the kitchen, and I couldn't even enjoy things, you know, the way someone has a birthday, you know, and, you know, you have the candle in the thing, I'd have to sneak it, I'd eat it frozen. I mean, if you eat it frozen, it doesn't count. For me, you know, I was like, it's frozen, it doesn't count. Oh my God, it went in my mouth. How did that happen? You know, going down on my knees, you know, I pray to God, and I meditated this morning for half an hour. You know, I practice Buddhism, so I went and chanted for half an hour so I can get calm for the meeting. And, you know, everyone's meditation in 11 steps is different. That's one of the steps. There's 12 steps, and the 11th step is thought through prayer and meditation. But I wake up in the morning, you know, I just ask God to abstain me for the willingness to be willing to want to go to any lengths to stay abstinent. And, you know, I'm in a couple of programs and used everything, anything, people, places, things to, you know, not have to feel. You know, and I realized that the feelings are not so bad. Oh, so now I have the huge obese cat who joined in on the meeting. He's sitting on the chair next to me. So, yeah, one cat, I mean, actually, I weigh and measure both of their food, and especially the, you know, the heavy one. He's always, he tries to steal food off my plate, and no one steals my food except he's the only one I let. So that is recovery, because nobody, you know, I'd snap at you if you tried, don't you reach your hand in my plate. So anyway, I just want to wish everyone a happy, grateful day. I'm looking forward to hearing everyone else. The speakers, I want to thank Gabby for orchestrating this. And I'm thinking my time is almost up. I'm going to have a good rest.
In fact, that was perfect timing, Michelle, because that's literally the end of the 15 minutes.
Okay. Thank you so much for asking me, and I'm truly grateful for this program, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And if you're just joining us, this is a workshop called How, a Program for Living. And it is being recorded, so if you've missed any part of it, you can always go and re-listen to anything, or if you hear something you love, you can go back and re-hear it. It'll be posted on our website in probably about a week or two. But we're going to turn this meeting over to our second speaker, the wonderful Rivka, who, again, I've had the pleasure of knowing for many years, who is going to share her experiences, strengths, hopes, and challenges of being abstinent through a lot of life challenges, because this really is how a program for living. Rivka, I'm acting as a timer today, so do you have a timing preference for how you would like your time?
Yeah, I can do 5, 5, and 3.
Absolutely. All right. You can begin at any time. Thank you so much. And if you'll make sure you can talk loudly, that'll record beautifully.
Hi, I'm Rivka, a compulsive overeater, and I'm so grateful to be on this line and to be able to share my experience, strength, and hope.
I'm sorry, could she speak a little louder? We cannot hear her.
Rivka, can you speak a little louder? Does that work for you?
Is this any better?
Much better. Thank you.
Okay, I am on speaker, so this is, I'll leave it like that. Thank you so much. So I have been in program many years by the grace of God, and through many health challenges, I have been in program, and most recently, I have been dealing with diabetes, and diabetes has been with me for the past 21 years, but most recently it has been a very serious problem for me. And I had relapsed. I was in program, and I had relapsed, and it took a lot of strength and courage to come back in, and I'm sure many people listening on here have gone, there have been people in program who have gone through this relapse, and trying to get back on the wagon has been a very big challenge, trying to get back on after being abstinent for a long period of time. And by the grace of God, I was given the gift of abstinence back again, and I'm so grateful. For me, it was recently, in the past year or so, it was a life and death situation with diabetes. And I have gone in, I went into the doctor, and I was told by the doctor that my pancreas was basically not working anymore, and I need a lot of medical intervention. And then after that, I was told by my doctor, after taking many blood tests and stuff, that my kidneys were being severely affected by the diabetes. And it was very, very scary for me. And I had just really cried to God and begged Him to help me so that I could finally return into program. And by the grace of God, I was given that gift again. By a very dedicated sponsor and people who have been loving and warm to reaccept me back into program. And I'm so grateful that I am now taking this so seriously. And for me, I'm not eating any of the flour and sugar. I'm totally just so dedicated to the program. I realize that it's... I don't have any, like, even want to go back there now, because I want to live and I want to be there for my family. I don't want to, like, be attached to a machine on dialysis for the rest of my life. And I don't want to be crippled like my all four grandparents, who three out of my four grandparents had lost all their limbs from diabetes. I don't want to be there, and I don't want to be in a handicapped cripple for the rest of my life. So for me, I have decided that no matter what, program comes first. Everything else can come second. And part of my talk, which I was asked to speak about, was about how to handle with children. And by the grace of God, I have a lot of children and who have now pretty much all grown. They're all grown and moved out of the house already. And I have particularly one married daughter who recently became pregnant and has a very severe pregnancy where she's very, very sick. And when I had flown in to New York to see her, she was in the hospital. And it was on a weekend, and she had asked me, can you please stay in the hospital with me? They have to put a PICC line in me. It was a whole long story. But I had the courage to stand up and tell her, I cannot stay in the hospital with you. I have health issues where I have to take care of myself first. And I won't be able to get enough sleep for my diabetes, which is absolute necessity. I won't be able to eat my proper food and be able to take care of myself. And I think that was one of the first times I ever stood up so strong and said, no, I cannot.
Five minutes.
Realized, thank you so much. I realized that with children, I think that's one of the main things I've learned is I have to take this seriously, where I have to come first before my kids, before my family, before everyone else. Because if I want to be there for them and I want to take care of them and I want to enjoy all of my fruits, I have to take care of myself so that I can be there for them. I also learned something else which was very important for me when dealing with children and a spouse, is that there, even when you have children who are really struggling with weight, or a spouse or whoever, family members who are really struggling, and it's a very hard thing to take for yourself. But what I've learned in the meetings and what I've learned from outreach calls and sponsors, that the way to really help them is to be a role model for them. You cannot go and push them into anything, and you cannot try to do it for them. The only thing that will work is being a role model for them. And I have learned that with one of my children. It was several years ago when I was in program and abstinent, and I had a child who was close to 100 pounds overweight. She was a teenager, really struggling with her weight, very upset, very anxious. And without saying anything, she saw me weighing and measuring my food. She saw me being so strict and so careful, and she decided she's going to do the same. And by the grace of God, she lost the 100 pounds and has kept it off till this day. And I believe it had a lot to do with me being a role model for her, not me going and telling her to do this or, you know, trying to push it onto her. That none of that worked. And lecturing didn't work either. All that worked is me being there and showing her that I can do it and I can accomplish this, and, you know, she'll see that it can be done. So that's a very important lesson I learned from raising children. And also, even if someone doesn't have children on this line, it could be even for a spouse or even a partner, anybody who you have in your life who you feel like, even a friend who you want to try to get them to do program, you feel bad, they're so overweight and everything. But you know what? The truth is, the only thing that we can do is be there and show others that it is possible. And if they have the willingness to do this program, you can always be there to support them and show them how you did it. And I am very grateful for program for learning these very important tips, because this has really been a guiding post for me for my future. And so now I am so grateful that I've dropped a lot of weight, and it has tremendously helped my diabetes, and I feel so much healthier and stronger. I think it has helped me in all areas of my life, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's no greater gift than abstinence. I must say that if there is anything that I would pray for, that would be the first thing I would ask for, is for God to give me my health and to give me my abstinence. And I just wanted to kind of end with a beautiful thing I heard on an outreach call. I was talking with a woman who shared something so amazing with me. I thought I would share it on the line. I had just heard this last week. And the woman had told me that there's an old folk saying that man is compared to a tree in the field. And she explained to me how a tree has three components to it. There's the roots, there's the branches and the leaves, and then there's the fruits. And she said, with the roots, that is compared to the faith in our program of trusting in a higher power and believing that there is a higher power that I can give over everything to, and that I can, that who is completely in control of my life. And the branches and the leaves are really compared to the tools that we have in program. When a person is struggling and not sure how to really be able to stay on course, it's really done through doing the seven tools, which we speak about in every single meeting. And It's a simple program. It's just doing weighing and measuring our food, not eating in between meals, all of these different tools, going to meetings, sponsoring, and doing writing and reading. These are all part of what makes our program so strong. And then you have, thank you, and then you have the last part, which is the fruits of the tree. And the fruits are the seeds which can procreate to make other trees. And that fruit is really like the 12th step, which is giving it over to somebody else and being of service for someone else. And there, a tree may be nice and great, but you won't really appreciate to the tree till you see the fruits of the tree. And the fruits is really what you're doing, is you're giving it over to someone else. And one of the main things that when there is a storm and there's rain and there's everything, remember that the roots of the tree could really have to be strong to weather the whole storm, the rain, snow, all the things that are going on out there in order to survive. And in the same way in program, we can have all the tools, we can have everything, but we have to remember that we have to stay strong in our faith and that we have to keep our roots as strong as possible, because stay strong in giving it over to God, and always remember to do a third step every single day in every challenge of our life, whether it be with children, whether it be with health. We have to remember that it's time to turn it over to God, and then to do the tools of doing your outreach calls. Remember to just call somebody in need. That will help you get through these challenges. And it will help you be able to weather the storm. And I am very grateful that Gabby had asked me to speak, because at first I was trying to back out of it. But then I realized, I came to the conclusion that I was not doing my 12th step, which is, even though I may not be at step 12, but part of the program is to give over what I was given as a gift. And that is the fruits of the tree. That is helping someone else in need. And even if I know step one, I have to help someone else with step one. I know step one and two. I need to help someone else with step one and two. And this is the beauty of this program. And I feel like I am so grateful that God has given me a second chance and given me the opportunity. And if there's anything I could pray for every single day when I say my prayers in the morning, is that God, please give me the gift of abstinence and give me the gift of health so that I can be there to serve him and to help others. And I want to thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to help others. And I wish everybody a happy and abstinent day.
Thank you so much, Rivka, for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. Amazing. If you are just joining us now, we're halfway through a wonderful workshop called How, a Program for Living, where we're talking about how to keep your abstinence through all kinds of challenges. And we've heard two wonderful speakers, and we are going to have a third wonderful speaker, Chris. Three of these four women will be on the meeting at the end for questions and answers. We've been asked not to share our phone numbers because we're going to try to make this more public. But we're very grateful that all of these people are here to share. And so I'm going to turn it over to Chris, who has also had health issues that she has stayed abstinent through. And one of the main reasons that she was asked initially is because she's also walked through some very, very painful times, having lost people very close to her and close to me as well. Chris, I'm acting as a timer today. How would you like your time?
Just tell me when it's 5 minutes before the end.
Not a problem at all. I can do that.
Please.
Thank you, Chris, who doesn't often get on phone meetings, so we're very grateful that she's joining us today.
Well, my name is Chris, and I am a compulsive eater. I have other addictions as well, but I am a compulsive eater, and that's probably my primary addiction. When Gabby asked me to speak about grief, I said, could I mention something about my breast cancer experience? And she said, sure. And I just wanted to say, my higher power has a wonderful sense of humor. And and he gives me everything that I need. He's with me all the time. And when I was diagnosed with breast cancer, of course, being a compulsive eater, the first thing I thought was, oh, good, I'm going to have breast cancer. I can eat whatever I want because I'll be going through surgery and everything. Well, my higher power stepped in, and my sponsor, who recently passed away, was Gabby's sponsor as well, and she lived here in this town at this time where I live. So she and her husband took me in and kept me for about six weeks while I went through this whole experience. But before I had my surgery, she took me to a meeting, a face-to-face meeting that I never went to. And the speaker that night was a woman who had had colon cancer. And when she was diagnosed with colon cancer, she had gone out and eaten everything that she could that wasn't nailed down and put on all this weight. And then when you know it, she survived the colon cancer and was in remission. And she has now to go back to, at the time, she had to go back to the first 30 days and start losing the weight and everything. And I thought, oh, my God, is that a message from my higher power or what? Now, that message has stayed with me all these years, and I've been abstinent for 24 years, and I've been in hell for 24 years. And every time I something happens, I've had hernia surgery, I've walked with death with many friends, and, you know, it's all the same thing. Yes, I could go out and binge if I want, but I still have to come back because, for me, how is the last train out of town? There's nothing else that's worked for me. And when I was in, and when I had the cancer, they put me on tamoxifen, and also my thyroid medicine is screwy, and I have gained weight, but I have maintained this weight for probably 15, 20 years. It doesn't seem to want to come off. But you know what? I don't have to worry about it today because I'm living the program, I'm working the program, and so that's very important to me. Now, to speak about the grief. My sponsor moved away. She moved to another state, and every year I would go and visit her. Well, the day I flew to go to see her, she fell and broke her hip and two hands, and she was in the hospital the whole time I was there, and then she passed away shortly before I flew out to come back home. It was very hard for me because she, although she was younger, she was one of the wisest people I have ever met, and she was an amazing person when it came to the steps and the big book, and she wasn't a big book thumper, but she could definitely tell you where things were in the big book and make comparisons in your own life. So I got on the plane having observed her to die, stood there while she died. And before she had died, I'd been able to have some closure. I'd been able to tell her how much she meant to me. And I had called a number of her sponsees and friends, and they had told her, even though she could no longer speak, they had told her what they thought of her and so forth. So there was a lot of closure for a lot of people. That was very special. I happened to be in the room alone with her for probably an hour. But there are four stages of grief, and they are, according to Ross, and they're denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Well, that's five. But anyway, I was in denial while she was alive because I kept thinking she would make it. And I was angry, but I was angry at somebody else that I think caused this problem, but I'm not going to go into that. Bargaining. I'm 78, almost 79 years old. I've had a very interesting and good life, and so I bargained with God to heal her and take me instead, but that wasn't meant to be. I was depressed for a while after God, after I got back home and everything, but God arranged for me to have a leak in my house, in my two-story house, and I've had a lot of people in and out of my house repairing it and so forth. So that sort of snapped me out of the depression. Plus, my dog ended up with a muscle pull in her right front. And so I've been taking care of a dog who is really a diva. And I spend a lot of time lifting her up off the chairs and so forth. And giving her pain meds. And acceptance. I have come to accept the fact that my friend is gone. But she's not. She's still with me all the time. And I had a very nice picture of her in my iPad, and I took it to Sam's Club, and I had a lovely copy made, which I have in my living room. And where I have the picture, her head is turned, and she's looking at me at all times. So I can talk to her and tell her about movies. We shared movies and Acorn streaming and so forth. And I can talk to the picture about problems that I have. Again, my higher power has an incredible sense of humor. My birthday came up after she passed away, and a friend always gives me a gift on my See How birthday. And she gave me an empty book, you know, a book to write in, and so it was perfect. So I write to Julie all the time, and that really helps as well. And I wrote about my anger. I wrote about my suspicions. I wrote about everything. And it really helped a lot, and it still helps. And now I find I'm writing much more positive things to her. So I'm getting better. I'm getting better. I also, when she died, made a vow to her to respect all that she had done for me and to help me stay abstinent over the years with all the different issues, health issues and death issues and things that I've gone through. And so far that has worked very well. I stay abstinent for myself and for God, but I also try to honor her and respect her and all the wonderful things that she's taught me. And I talk to God all the time, too. God's very much part of my life. He's my higher power. As the book says, we choose to call God, and I do. And it's wonderful. We also, for a closure, had a meeting because Julie knew many people here. And we had a meeting, one of our face-to-face meetings, and we had people call in that were friends of Julie's that we knew of. And we sat and we talked, and she was the leader, more or less, because she was the topic, because everybody talked about her and what she had meant to each one of them. And I recorded it, and I'm able to listen to it from time to time. I also emailed it out to different people. And that brought about a great deal of closure. So there are a lot of things you can do, if you think about it, that can help you get through these times. I know when my husband died, he was ill for a long time, and he died right when they thought that I had colon cancer, which I didn't. And I was pretty angry with him for leaving me and having to go through that alone, and I did speak with him rather harshly. But he's been gone a long time, but I still feel his presence, just like Julie, just like God. And I talk to him all the time, and I find that really, truly helps to be able to talk to people and share things with them, and people who really loved you and really cared about you. And so it's, you know, my life has changed to some degree. I won't be flying to that state anymore. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say on that. But it's been an interesting experience. I always knew, because she had so many health issues, that she would most probably go before I did. But it's still hard. It's always hard, even when you're dealing with somebody with a big pardon.
That's the 10-minute mark, so you have five more minutes left.
Okay. I don't really have much more to say. But she taught me so much, and she helped me through so much. And I did all my steps and so forth with her. And she taught me a great deal about doing those. And the beauty is that even though she's gone physically from the earth, I share all the various things that I can remember that she taught me with other sponsees, with new sponsees. I share things at meetings. And so, in essence, I'm passing on a lot of her great wealth and knowledge and information. So it's been, it's been an interesting time. And I'm very grateful that she was in my life, albeit not long enough. So thank you, Gabby, for letting me share this. It's been good. I made a lot of notes, and that's helped a lot, too, to write all these things down. And I'm glad. Thank you, all the other two that I've heard so far. I've really enjoyed your share. And God bless you all, and have a good Sunday. And with that, I'm done. Thank you.
Chris, thank you so much for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. If you're joining us now, this is called HOW, CEA HOW, a program for living. And that also, the circle of life means that it's also a program for getting us through the death of loved ones and the sickness of ourselves and others, and staying abstinent above all. And so our last speaker for today is going to be Sue. Sue is, I hope she'll introduce herself, and she's really here to talk about how to use HOW not just as a program for food, but really how to make sure that you work the program in all areas of life so that you can get all the promises granted, as one of our speakers did today. So Sue, thank you for joining us today. How would you like your time?
Gabby, why don't you give me 13 and or 12 and 3?
12 and 3 it is. Thank you.
Okay. Hi, I'm Sue. I'm a compulsive eater. And I want to thank the other ladies that have shared today. And thank you, Gabby, for putting this together. And most importantly, thank you, God, for coming into my life and staying with me so I can maintain one day at a time what I do. I'm suddenly very emotional. I wasn't up until this point when I started talking, but the reality is this program is very, very important and dear to me. And I've been doing this for quite a while. My oldest grandson was with me for a few days. He's 22. And I realized that he has never seen me overweight. He has never seen me eat anything inappropriate. We were talking about alcohol. He was with friends, and he came back here, and he was pretty hungover. And I said, oh, I remember drinking. I said, and I remember feeling rotten, and I now know that I don't have to do that anymore. He says, I'm not doing this anymore. And I said, well, you're young. You might. But just know that there's another way to have a great time without drinking. And he nodded. He goes, boy, he says, this is miserable. And you know, I wasn't trying to, tell him what to do and not to do. He's young. He's actually just leaving to go help people in Africa. And who knows what will be when he's there. Yeah, I admire what he's doing, and I think he admires how I live my life, and that's terrific. A lot of talk about illnesses. I have walked through abstinence, having both hips replaced two different times, and, you know, right on my chart real big, no sugar, no flour, no honey. And, okay, it's really big. They go, okay, we won't give you any of that. And I walked through that, and that was terrific. What I've been dealing with for the last 5 years is my husband's health. And he has had 7 surgeries. He is, he's lost a tremendous amount of weight, and he's still kind of plowing through on his walker. And I basically, a little over a year ago, I got laid off from work. I've never been laid off from work, ever. And I walked out of there kind of going, oh, maybe I can get some sleep now. And by the time I got to my car and started driving, I said to myself, maybe God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. Because the reality is, with how much he was keeping me up at night, I should have left there months ago, and I didn't. And I have had the opportunity to take care of myself through all the situations with him. About 6-7 months ago, the doctor said, take him to emergency. And I said, okay. And I said to him, I said, give me 15 minutes. I need to pack up some stuff and get some food together. And he goes, I understand. Go ahead. Do what you need to do. And thank you. You know, we're in emergency for like 5 hours. And I had my food with me. I just stepped outside and ate and stepped back in. And I take care of myself. I need to maintain balance in my life. I need to move forward with everything that I do so that I don't have regret. I read a while ago that life is too short to wake up in the morning with regret. And once I make a decision to do something, I used to go, is this the right way? Is this the wrong way? And now it's just, I stop for a minute before I sign on the dotted line or make a decision about what I'm doing and go, am I going to be okay with this decision, or do I need to do something else in the way of research or homework? And, you know, I make the decision with that. And sometimes I just need to say, I can't make a decision now. I've got to get back to you. This does, something doesn't feel okay, and I don't know what it is. And I never used to, before program, let people know that I needed to take a moment. I didn't always have the right words. I thought I had to have the right words, so I would act out instead. And now I can just say, it doesn't feel good. I need to get back to you. Whether it's a minute or an hour or a day or a week, and then I sleep on it, pray on it, come to a conclusion that works for me. So my life today, it's I used to, before program, would say it's very difficult. I don't say that. It has a lot of challenges on a daily basis. I never know how my husband's going to be from one day to the next, from 1 hour to the next, if he's going to need me to sit there with him and hold his hand, or if I can go about my day and do other things. And so I just have learned to the serenity prayer, accept the things I cannot change. As long as I choose to have him here in the house instead of putting into some type of a facility, I have to accept the things I can't change, and I can't change how he's feeling. I can only change my attitude towards him. And that is what I do. I have really learned to be patient. I've learned to use my words instead of shaking my head or grunting or groaning. I can just say, give me a moment. Give me a minute. I raise my voice sometimes, and he'd say, don't yell, don't yell. And I go, okay, I'll be right back. I can go in the other room, I can yell, I can scream, I can cry, and I come back, I go, okay, now what do you need? And it's just learning how to do things. And none of this involves food. It just doesn't involve food anymore. It's so refreshing and so nice. I call my sponsor in the morning after I've already taken a call from the sponsee, and I commit my food. I sometimes give her, you know, option A and option B for dinner. If I'm doing this, then this, and if not, it's that. And she just, you know, she said, call me if you need help, otherwise proceed. And that's how she and I work it. We've been together for, I guess she's been my sponsor for about 5 years now. And that came to be when my prior sponsor just wasn't available for me, and I was trying to just hang on, and I went and sat down at a meeting, and I said, okay, if I can get in, I think I need to get a new sponsor. And I looked at this woman, and I heard her speaking. I said, she would be a good sponsor for me. I'm wondering, 715 would work for me. And she stood up and qualified, and she goes, I have room for one woman at 715 in the morning. It was like, okay, I guess we're meant to be together. And it's been fabulous ever since. I have five other sponsees, and it is just, they brighten my day. I don't let them dim my day in any way. And if I can help them out, that's what I do. Acceptance really is the answer to all my problems today. I live in recovery. And today, my recovery is stronger than my addiction. And the only way that I can do that is to keep going to meetings, keep working the tools, keep reading, keep writing, and stay with things that work for me and stay away from things that don't work for me. I really can't afford to get angry. Anger is just, someone cuts me off on the road, I can yell and I can scream, and then I have to just compose myself and go, what's the worth of doing this? Is that yelling or screaming because someone else is being a jerk? Is that worth my being upset and ruining my day? No. What's the worth? The worth is I get to take care of myself. I get to calm down. I get to be the better person. I have always believed from day one I had on my refrigerator, God didn't put us here to be unhappy. And I think that he put us here that we can be happy and joyous and free in all that we do and stay with that in our lives. I really try to just be the best person I can be. So much of this program is what I've learned from the very beginning. Say what you're going to do and do what you say. And is that time, Gabby? No? Okay.
No, you still, sorry about that. You still have a minute 26, but that's, you take as much or as little as you like.
I heard something else. Okay. Say what you're going to do and do what you say, just to stay with it. And if I make big changes in what I'm doing, I have people to call if my sponsor's not around. I have a sponsee that I've had for over 20 years. And it's like, I can call her, we get to sponsor sponsee time, and then we get to friend time. And we can do all of that. And sometimes she's there for me more than I'm there for her. And it just works. It's what we get to do. It's what we get to have. And I've been through a lot in my life. My birthday's coming up in a couple weeks. I'm going to be 73. And I've been to psychics and channelers and therapy and past life regressions and all kinds of stuff. But how is what works for me? How is what brought God back into my life and has given me an opportunity to enjoy the beauty of what is and just stay with it on a daily basis. I have a mantra, and I'm going to read that. I have a mantra that I say to myself every day.
And that is the 12-minute mark right there.
Okay, perfect. And my mantra is, and I say it slowly, and I just don't bust through it. I kind of cringe when people read the steps real fast or read something at a meeting real fast. I say it slowly because it's important for me to hear all the words as I say it. And here it is: I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am joyous, and I am free. I am of service to myself, to the people around me and to the world. I have all this by the grace of God, living in recovery and continuing to take positive forward action. That positive forward action is my guide for life. I then say, thank you, God, for giving me this day. Thy will, not mine, be done. Thy will, not mine, be done. Let's do it. And then I proceed ahead. And that's what I say before I get out of bed in the morning. And I say it other times during the day, too. But I have found just, you know, do something that keeps you on the, keeps me on the right track. And thinking positively, regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of who's in my face, about what, it's like, no, not going to ruin my day, buddy. Let's move ahead. And that's what I get to do on a daily basis. So thank you and for letting me share, and back to you.
Sue, thank you so much for sharing. And Chris, and Rivka, and Michelle. So I just wanted to throw in a couple of final thoughts and really just wrap it up. And then we're going to open this up for questions and answers. I do want to remind you, we are recording this. So I'm going to ask that you stay as anonymous as possible in this digital age. So if you would like to share your first name, you can do that, but not your city and certainly not your phone number, please. And if you have a specific question to address to Michelle or to Chris or to Sue, Rivka did have to get off, as I have said, but we do, or to me, I guess, but we will be open for questions or 2 to 3 minute shares on how you have applied how to your program of living. So I did just want to wrap up by saying that so many of us come into these rooms with the thought that we are here to really just do almost anything to lose weight or to gain weight or to stop throwing up or stop binge eating or doing something weird about the food. We come in for vanity reasons or because we just can't stop dealing with this, or we've tried other things, or maybe we haven't. But it's definitely the idea is you come in because it's a food-related issue. I think I've heard 100 times that I used to think all my problems were from the neck down, and when I got into program, I learned that they were from the neck up, meaning that a lot of these problems are not, you know, food-related. Food became my solution to all of these problems, and, you know, my problem was that my solution wasn't really working anymore. Food wasn't taking away my problems. It wasn't giving me that relief that it did for, you know, the years before. And so I'm just incredibly grateful that this program has taught me not just how to manage my food, not just how to live in a healthy-sized body, which I absolutely have for many, many years, but that I have been able to, you know, just live life with everything from the most tragic things I can imagine on a big scale. I'm a New Yorker, and I lived through 9/11 abstinently. I also lived through my father's passing away. On the downside, I have lived through, I mean, on the rather, that is the downside. On the upside, I've got married abstinently. I've had 3 kids abstinently. As someone shared before, they've never known me not to be abstinent. And I'm incredibly grateful for that, too. So that's my 2 cents for what it's worth. I'm going to unlock the meeting and open it up for anyone to direct a question. This is not a meeting, so it is okay to crosstalk. If you have a question, we do ask that you keep your questions brief. Again, please don't share anything more than your name. If you want to, you're welcome to ask a question anonymously. And I'm going to try to limit the questions, answers, or shares to 3 minutes. And we do have about 20 or 30 minutes for that. So let me unmute and then everybody, if you'd like to ask a question, or if you're one of our presenters and you'd like to answer a question, then you'll have to press the star key on your phone and then the 6 key on your phone to unmute. And then we do ask that once you ask or answer or share that you press star 6 again. That way we don't have any interference on the line or static or background noise.
Yes. Hi, I'm Bonnie, and I'd like to share.
Thank you, Bonnie. I'll set the timer for 3 minutes if that's okay.
Yes, thank you. Hi, my name is Bonnie, and I am a member of CEA HAL, and this workshop has been fantastic. Oh, my God, I'm so happy that one of your presenters told me about this last week, and it's really a gift. Everyone's, speeches and the moderator being so upbeat. My current situation is that I'm at home recovering from my second hip replacement surgery, and I normally am driving around town, going to meetings, going to work, very independent, and probably a little bit compulsively busy. That's always been a challenge for me. And to slow down, spend time at home, not being able to drive, having to ask for help, having to ask people to come and visit me or take me places, and dealing with pain. And even though I have had this surgery previously, this is a very different experience. I'm at a different point in my life. And it's been emotionally very challenging. And with the help of my sponsor, with the help of outreach calls, with the help of phone bridge meetings, I am staying abstinent through this. And but this workshop really, I just really needed this to be reminded of the positive approach to living and be reminded of the steps. And sometimes when left to my own devices, I know I'm a compulsive eater. It's been a huge relief for me to accept that and to know that there's nowhere else for me to go. But what I sometimes forget is to turn my will and my life over to my higher power, no matter what, on a daily basis. And I need to hear this. I need to hear people share about it. And I'm okay with the fact that this is one day at a time, and I need to hear a lot of this stuff one day at a time. And whatever happens to my health, I am now really putting that first. And I've been telling a lot more of my
time
people. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy. And I just want to thank everybody involved.
Bonnie, thank you so much for sharing today. Again, this workshop is now open for either questions or shares. We do ask that you keep your anonymity, and if you're going to share your first name, that's fine, but nothing else. Anybody else like to share or ask a question?
May I ask a question?
Yes, I didn't get your name. Or you just want to ask a question? Go for it. Thank you.
And the question is, what is your best advice for someone having a challenge getting from point?
Can you repeat that? What is your best advice for someone that's
struggling to get firm footing?
To get on footing?
Firm. Like, to get abstinent, basically. But they had a hard time. Yes.
To get abstinent. What is your best advice to get abstinent? Did you have a particular person in mind you'd like to answer the question to? Or
no.
Any of
no, they're all wonderful. They're all wonderful.
They're all wonderful. Excellent. Would any of our presenters like to take?
I'll address that.
Thanks. Oh. Sue, go ahead.
I would just like to say the real easy answer is put your butt in your chair, put the butt, your butt in a chair in a meeting, and your head and mind will follow. Don't argue with it. Just get started. When I first started, I went, what the heck is this all about? And then with my just dogged determination, I said to myself, I've done a lot of things in the world. I was pissed at my ex-husband for 10 years. I said, I can do this for 30 days. Let me just do this for 30 days and see what happens. And as they say, at the end of 30 days, you can have your misery back if you want it. And I did it for 30 days, and I walked through it, and it wasn't in my gut yet, but I was going through the motions. And at the end of the third step ceremony that we have when we do that, I stopped when I walked out of there in the middle of a flight of stairs and went, oh, wow, I really have to do this now. I got it. And it took me that long before it really sunk into my gut that this is the way I can live my life and I can enjoy the beauty of what is and I can figure out how to do things as I go. Because I have a sponsor, I have people I can talk to, and food does not have to dominate my life and the way I live my life anymore. So just get started. Get started. Thank you.
Thank you for that question and that answer. If you want to know something that came to my mind, by the way, while we were doing this, the presenters themselves have over 80 years of abstinence and probably close up to 100 now. I'm not sure about all the specific amounts of years, but that's a crazy amount. So I just want to say that I would listen to these people's advice.
Something, Gabby. This is Chris.
Oh, please, Chris, go ahead.
I just want to say that in response to your last caller's question, I believe very strongly that we have a worthiness issue and that when we feel worthy, we can be abstinent and we can do the things that we choose to do through CHOW. And when we don't feel worthy, we eat. We eat over that. And a lot of it has to do with all the different things that come out when we do our inventory and stuff. And to me, doing your inventory and all of the steps and asking God to forgive you and to, make the bad things go away because you've written about them, you've talked about them, and you become more the feeling of worthy, that you have good self-worth. And I think that has a lot to do with being able to stay abstinent. I really do. Thank you.
I'd like to say something. It's Michelle.
Yes, please. Go ahead, Michelle. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. One of the things that struck me is I was always a yes, but person. Well, you know, can I have the flop for dinner instead of for lunch? I want to switch things around. You know, and for me, I had to not argue with my sponsor and, you know, just give it a shot. And because, you know, I have a disease. I'm a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I could not stay abstinent. I kept going out. I was a slipper for the longest time. So, you know, when they said three meetings for me, that didn't work. I was doing two meetings a day. So I just had to, you know, brush up and do more stuff so I could stay abstinent and, you know, find a sponsor, call on time and, you know, do whatever I needed to do as well as, you know, I couldn't share in a meeting because I was new, but I volunteered for everything. And, you know, that really got me involved. And I became non-invisible. Thank you.
I am so grateful to all three of you for answering that. Again, this is the question and answer section of HOW, a Program for Living, or the sharing section. So we do have about 10 more minutes of this workshop. Please do make sure that if you want to speak, you press *6 to unmute, and then you press *6 again to remute. Anybody
Gabby,
like to?
Gabby, this is Cheryl. Can I say?
Hi. Please, Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you. When I first came into program, I came to the meeting not knowing anything about 12-step programs. And when I heard people talk about spirituality, I was ready to bolt. I came to lose some weight. I didn't want any other stuff. But then I heard people share, and what they were sharing was their stories was very similar to mine, different background, but food was ruling their life and was ruining their life, just as it did mine. And so I stayed. I kept coming to 2 meetings every week in Manhattan and kept religiously going, doing the tools and working the steps. And I had abstinence for a long time, and then there was a time that I started slipping and had a relapse. And it was so much harder to get it back, to get that abstinence back, rather than to keep on staying abstinent. For me, the beauty, the most, a lot of promises came true, but one thing particularly is not having that negative stinking thinking in my head. I had all this stuff going around where someone needs to be muted, someone rustling stuff. Thank you. So thinking that, oh, you know, I have to start all over again. I didn't do it. I'm no good. I always fail. I'm always a failure. All this negative stuff going around in my head, and, you know, when I went to bed and when I got up, I wasn't free of that. No matter what was happening, that was always going on, and, of course, as the more I ate, the more it got worse, until I got abstinent. And it's such a wonderful thing to know that I wake up in the morning, I'm abstinent, my head's clear, it's free. It's not free of all the other challenges going on in my life, but it's free in terms that I can think of what I need to do next. I can take the right action without worrying about the food. I can go to bed at night and say, wow, that was an abstinent day. Feel great. That is such a big thing for me to know that food does not control me. It does not control my life. You know, it has its place in 3 meals a day, weighed and measured, nothing in between. And what a relief that is. And today, if I look at something that, you know, that's calling my name, something that's craving, I'll just say, is it worth it? No, it's not. I remember what it was like going into eating that stuff. And life is so much more wonderful on the other side of sugar. I need to remember that because sugar is poison for me. It'll kill me. It was on the way to killing me. So abstinence is the most important thing in my life today. Again, when I heard that, I said, what do you mean? There's my health, there's my family, my career. What do you mean abstinence is the most important? But I know today that it is. Because when I am not abstinent, I'm of no use to anyone around me. I have failed in a career because of the food. I started that career where I was, you know, one of the diets I'd been on, and I looked good. And as the tension came on and the stress, I gained weight, and I had to give up that career. So food did horrible things to me. I do not want to go back. Today, I choose not to go back to that life. I want to live this life of being joyous, happy, and free. And it's not perfect, and I'm not perfect, and I'll slip up sometimes, but not with the food. I can't afford to slip up with the food. I have to be willing, and I am today willing to be willing to do that. And then I have 2 mantras. One of them is one day at a time. I can do it. Okay, and the other one is letting go and letting God. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Cheryl, for sharing. Wonderful. We have time for maybe another 2 people asking questions or sharing. Is there anybody who'd like to either share or ask a question?
I would.
Yes, go right ahead, please.
Thank you. Thank you, Gabby. This is Suzanne. I want to thank every one of the ladies. I know three of them and not the fourth one. But wonderful workshop. And if you're new or you're returning to HOW, you know what, I would like to say this. It's like I've gotten through a lot of things in my life, with my mom's passing, several surgeries, living on my own, moving, getting married, all of that stuff. And it's ask how, not why. But how do I do this? You know, when I have friends or sponsees that are going to have surgery, going to the hospital, instead of saying, well, I can't do this, or, you know, I won't do this, or because I can't, it's like, well, it's how. And that's what was told to me, ask how to do it. That is very helpful. As long as I ask how, there's going to be a way. If I want this program, if I need the program, all the wanting and needing won't matter if I don't do the program, but I get to ask how. And there are plenty of people who have walked before me through different circumstances that can guide me. If my sponsor doesn't know, I ask other people, and it is doable. It is doable, and I have to remember that. And this is a program of living. It teaches me how to live. And, Yeah, and that means all the ups and downs. Grief, loss, joy, happiness, death, everything. And I'm very grateful to the program, and I'm grateful to all the people here. And thank you, Gabby. And with that, I pass. I just wanted to thank everybody.
Well, we want to thank you, too, Suzanne. So thank you for being part of this workshop and for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. We do have time for another share or another question. If you'd like to ask or share, press star 6. Remember that we are being recorded.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes, please. I can hear you beautifully. Thank you.
Thank you. This is Jeannie, a compulsive eater in New York.
You don't have to tell us you're that's okay. I think that's a big enough city.
Okay.
I don't think that shares too much. But thank you, Jeannie. Please go ahead.
Okay. So basically, I had long-term abstinence, and I back-to-back abstinence, and then all kinds of difficult things, death months apart. My parents died 3 months apart. A lot of different things happened in my life. I lost my abstinence. Now I'm in recommitted abstinence. One of the things that I noticed, though, is that in all my years of back-to-back abstinence, what I didn't really learn how to do is soothe myself without using food. I mean, I didn't use food, but I also didn't soothe myself, so that I started doing other kinds of things as well that were, you know, ism kinds of things, no substances, but behaviors. And so I guess my question is, you know, what people have gone through when they are going through really difficult times, how have they learned to soothe themselves without food in ways that are healthy? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie, for asking that question. Did you have somebody specific that you would address that to, or just the panel in general?
Just anyone. Anyone who thinks they can answer that actual question.
So the question is, how do we soothe ourselves without taking on either food or behaviors that are certainly harmful? Any of the panelists want to go for that?
Hi, it's Sue.
Hi, Sue. Please go ahead.
I have found something I had put off doing for such a long time, but in this last year that I've been home, I started walking, and I try every day to go out for a walk, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes an hour. And I dub that my time of joy, because I get to walk and I get to feel the air in my face, the fresh air and the breeze. But I wake up every morning and say, what am I going to do for myself today where I can find some joy? Perhaps it's gardening. Perhaps it's just my walk. Perhaps it's a long conversation with someone I haven't talked to. And that's basically what I do, is to find some joy and find something new. I'm not a big reader. My readings are very short. I'm almost getting ready to sit down for a book, but quite honestly, I haven't read a book in a long time, a whole book that isn't program related. And I think I'm getting ready to do that. Just find something that you're willing to do on a daily basis that's different from what you did before. Change a little bit of something, and maybe your heart and your mind and your body will follow. Thank you.
Thanks,
it's
Sue.
Michelle.
And, yes, Michelle. Go ahead, Michelle. Thank you.
Hi. I buy all different kinds of Epsom salts. You can buy them at the 99-cent store, different like eucalyptus and lavender. I always take a hot bath because when I'm in there, I'm safe. And it reminds me of being in the womb, you know. And I also wasn't a reader, and I had to find more joy and just not just be reading program books all the time. So I joined the library. And at night when I go to sleep, even if I read a page, it's like really fun, you know. And when I walk, I actually smell, whenever I see a rose, I smell them, and I found that all roses smell differently, and it's really, really very soothing. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Chris, you want to add anything else? Nope, Chris, you're still muted.
I found in the beginning of the program, when I first started, that I would take, say, a vegetable, and I would set that aside, and I would not eat it. It was something I really liked, and I would not eat it. And then when a time came when I needed to lift or I was tired of what I was eating and I wanted to change, that was like a treat to me. It was an abstinent treat, and I would have that vegetable. But other than that, today I live a very simple life, and I eat very simply as well. The longer I'm around, the simpler I make it. I used to be quite a gourmet cook, but I of course don't do any of that anymore either. But I just kind of, reach out to people, talk to people on the phone, call people, ask them when I need help or so forth. I still haven't found a sponsor, but it's not something I'm going to rush into. And when the time is, when the student is willing, the teacher will come, you know, that old expression that I paraphrase. So anyway, that's what I do. I just reach out, I talk to people, I write about whatever it is, and those things help me to stay abstinent.
And I'm Gabby. I'm a compulsive eater. And I'll just throw out there that I, you know, a couple of responses to this. The first is that I have an app on my phone that tells me I commit that how long I've been abstinent, and it tells me every day sort of how much money I've saved on sugar. So one of the things I remember is that I'm not spending that money on food. So if I do need to reconnect to myself, I need to find serenity, I need to get grounded again, and I'm working a program, and I'm doing my writing, and I'm calling my sponsor, and all these other things, and my brain is kind of chatty. Sometimes I feel like I need to get physically grounded, and so I'll go, the local yoga place has an $8 yoga class. I might go do that. I might treat myself. We have massage places near where I live, and I found a good one, a safe one, one that's not weird or awkward. And I might treat myself to a foot massage or a head massage or a full body massage to re-get grounded in my body. And the last thing I'll say is I can't believe I'm saying this because I was abstinent for almost a decade and a half before I decided that exercise was something I might want to try. So again, this is later in my program. I started to work out, and I saw somebody had a shirt that says, "I exercise to burn off the crazy." And I thought that was the weirdest thing ever until I started exercising more. And so sometimes I feel like that excess energy and that chattiness and that that discomfort with being in my own skin needs a channeled place to go. And that I cannot go out of control. I mean, I can, you know, I'm an addict. I can addict my way into anything. I can read addictively. I can sleep addictively. I mean, it's not just food, right? I can caffeine addictively. I can exercise addictively. So I like to weigh and measure all the things I do. You know, I don't go to a massage place that gives a 20 gajillion hour massage. I get a 30-minute massage or an hour massage. I don't go to 12 yoga classes. I go to one. My gym is a half an hour gym, and then I get to leave. Not because I don't want to do more, not because I'm not drawn to do more, but because that needs to be enough sometimes. And you combine that, I don't think there's ever a one right answer to any of these things. There's no one right answer to getting through grief. There's not one right answer to getting through hip surgery or cancer or the death of a loved one or a marriage or a baby or a move or a job change or anything. There's a million great abstinent answers, and you know, as people have said, you reach out, you call. There's 12 people who've already done it in the last year ahead of you abstinently, and they'll have ideas. And we don't have the one right moment of, you know, because then it would just be like, oh, of course you won't slip anymore, just do this one thing. And there's not one right thing. That's why there are 7 tools, and you got to do all 7 of them every day, because we don't know which one is going to work at that exact moment. And that's a gift. It's a gift that, I mean, if you talk to somebody who has, you know, some kind of painful, awful challenge in their life, emotional or physical, and you say, hey, here's what I want you to do. Get on the phone with your friends every day, at least 3. Eat healthy, good, yummy food that makes you feel much better. do some writing, you know, be good to yourself, be good to others, and your issues will go away. I mean, there are so many people out there who would be like, wow, you mean I don't have to take this medicine that makes me so sick or, you know, feel this pain? We get to do all these things to address our own addictions without any kind of painful side effects, and that helps us get through the outside world. So I want to thank Michelle and Rivka and Chris and Sue for speaking at this incredible workshop. I am so honored to know them and to be touching base with them in our lives in a pretty regular sense. Again, we're not sharing our phone numbers or anything, but we are on the How Outreach list, all four of us. And I just do want to, you know, you can get in touch with me. Again, I'm Gabby, and I'm so incredibly grateful to be part of this, to be part of CHOW in general. We do have these workshops every couple of months, along with other workshops, sponsorship workshops, meetings, live meetings, phone meetings. There's on the CEAHOW.org website, there are recorded talks from dozens of different places. You can download them and listen to them as a podcast. So if you didn't hear what you need to hear today, then please come back and listen to something else. The feelings, those 12-step feelings that were spoken about, the roots, the leaves and branches, and the fruits, they'll all be there for you if you just come by. So I'm going to stop the recording now. I want to thank everybody, and I hope that you'll join us at a meeting, on a workshop, or anything like that. And thank you again to the presenters. Our recording is going off now.